I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, and welcome in to a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, September the 7th. I'm Brad Locke with W. Derek Russell. Sorry, Derek, I guess it looked like you wanted to do the intro.
Whatever moves it along faster.
We never really talk about it. We just kind of, whoever does it, does it.
It's a feeling kind of thing.
Gotta have a feel for it.
Yeah, whoever's more into it at that moment.
I feel like we've got a feel for each other.
Moving on. Now we're going to get through this show very quickly.
Record time.
Yes, and we're done. We'll see you guys on Thursday. I won't be joining you because I feel very...
uncomfortable?
Yes, uncomfortable is a good word. That's a fantastic word, Brad. Good job.
I'm sorry.
Glad you had a feel for that.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get general feeling in my being here. Finally get my first cup of coffee.
I see. All right. Well.
It's been one of those mornings, Derek.
We can just tomorrow or starting next week hook you up to an IV so you're getting it directly into the bloodstream.
Some mainline coffee all day.
I think it'd help you out. It'd make us all like you better.
Probably.
Yeah. No, we couldn't like you any more than we already do, Brad.
Talk about a backhanded compliment.
I meant that sincerely.
I believe you.
That one over there is the one that took it skewed and made it sound like something else.
Chris Kiefer, that's our producer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time you're joining us. I don't know what took you so long, but if for perchance it is.
I wonder how many shows
bring in brand new listeners. I know we got repeat listeners. I wonder how many times
we're talking
listening
to you.
And
repeat.
This is our first time.
Pete, and
send us an email.
Send us an
email. Your first time.
Yeah.
I met I met Maggie's brother on Sunday.
Dax?
Yeah.
Did you compliment him on his name?
I did. I enjoy that name. He said he didn't care for you very much. So.
That's a lie.
No, it was pretty.
He came up to me in church the other day and said he loves the show. He thinks we're hilarious.
Yeah, he's being nice.
he's had his coffee.
That whole family is nice. It's like one of the nicest families you'll meet. She's got two sisters as well.
Good people.
Yeah. But... did you tell him you just sit around in the dark sometimes going, Dax, 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 Dax? You just like saying the name.
No, I don't sit around in the dark saying that dude's name at all. I mean, he was a nice guy, but...
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, we're back. I hope everyone have a great... What?
You're all over the place today.
I sure am. Well, again,
talking over people and... We usually don't interrupt each other.
We usually don't because, again, we have a good feel for each other.
That's...
We've got, what is today? Wednesday. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day because we didn't have a show Monday. Hope that didn't disappoint anybody.
I was here. I don't know where
you were here on Monday?
I sat here trying to do it and nobody ever showed up. So you're right. Both on my list after that.
Yeah. Anyway, but we got a good show today.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who's on?
I don't know.
Emma Kent.
Is she?
She'll be joining us.
Sure.
Yeah. Bobby Harrison.
Yep, sure is.
I've just been handed a bulletin, apparently, with all the crinkling papers that you're hearing over the microphone.
Bulletin, just in.
Yes. Brad Locke has had his coffee. And
We got police reports.
Do we?
Because we didn't do them Monday because we didn't have a show, so we'll just do them today.
I sat here and read them out loud in a dark room after saying Dax, Dax, over and over again.
Anyway, that it? That's what we got today?
It's a good show. And Jenna Parsons, I think, will be joining us.
Get to talk Wednesday. Food. I remember last week when you were here and she brought those delicious Rillo brownies. That was Friday.
I remember when you shut up because I made a fist at you and you were scared. Do you remember that?
That didn't happen. I'm scared.
There's your fist right there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I obviously don't need any brownies. She was watching out for me because she knew I didn't need brownies.
Brought them in on her day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, she wanted you to be diabetic, so she brought them
apparently.
In. Yeah.
I had two.
There you go. Her plan worked beautifully.
Speaking of food, today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. Formerly known as Palmer's, the locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection and great customer service and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main.
Okay, I will.
Okay, me too.
I'm going to go right now.
Really?
Well, yeah,
I'll just take this on home myself.
Yeah.
Me and Kiefer.
Sure.
Cool. Bring me something back.
Can we just go live from Shoppers Value?
Tell them, man, we need to do more remotes. Let's do one from South as well.
I'm okay with that.
Will they give you free catfish if we do one from there?
I'm okay with that.
Will they feed us?
But Shoppers Value, you can get a lot of snacks.
True.
You can get all the snacks.
Be stuffing our mouth with little Debbie's while we're doing the show.
Yep.
Whatever. Fudge rounds are yummy. Zebra cakes.
Zebra cakes are good.
I had one of those last night.
Yeah.
After my workout. It's a good post-workout snack.
Ho-ho?
No, we're out of those.
No.
Okay.
I can't think of any other Little Debbie snack cakes to mention, drop names.
What were those giant ice cream sandwiches you showed the other day?
Fat Boys.
Oh, yeah, those Fat Boys.
Yeah, that's not Little Debbie.
No, it's not.
Little Debbie doesn't do frozen
Little Debbie, they do the, what are they called, King Don's? Is that what they're called? It's a weird name.
I'm not Googling King Dong. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now.
Okay.
Close that out.
Anyway.
Yes. That's your favorite word for today.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say when I don't know what.
That's like the ninth time you've said it.
That's what I say when I don't know what to say.
Ah, well, you use it. You must not know what to say a lot.
I really don't.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I don't know why I'm on this podcast.
It's an affliction.
I don't even like talking.
That's what Dax asked me the other day. He's like, why is he on that podcast?
I don't know.
We like you.
Okay.
Mostly.
I'm on here because of your pity. Brad Locke's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a sitcom, that would be the name of it.
Yes,
Brad
it
Locke's the worst.
It would. That would be the name of it.
Starring Brad Locke.
You just give me an idea.
Produced by Brad Locke.
I think I'm going to write me a script.
Are you?
For a sitcom.
Called Brad Locke's the worst?
Yes, based on my life.
Just make today the pilot. Like that.
Well, the way today's going, yes, it could
be. Tell us about today, Brad.
Well, I overslept by about 30, 40 minutes, so that's always a great way to start.
You do that once a week.
At least.
Yes.
So that puts me behind on my work, posting things in the morning.
Sure.
And
gets you here late.
Yeah, and it gets me here late.
Yeah, you're behind on your
coffee. Because I have to take kids to school, and it takes like 20 minutes to get to school.
Kids, you know, if you didn't have 12 of them.
Well. And then he had to eat breakfast in the car. What?
How many are you at now?
Five.
Oh, just the five.
Just the five. It feels like 18.
Yeah.
And then my wife is watching this other kid who's like 5 months old, you know,
what?
Babysitting to make a little money. So
I was just taking him in there?
And he gets there like 7 a.m.
You can't just go get him off the street. You gotta
he gets there at 7 a.m. and it's like just craziness.
Who gets there at 7 a.m.?
Between him and she's got to go to work.
Just a kid shows up at the door every morning at 5 a.m.?
His mom has to go to work, so my wife watches him from like 7 to 4, make a little money, you know, on the side. And so mornings tend to be kind of crazy in my house.
You've got 12 kids in the house.
We've got 5 kids. Let's bring another one in to watch and take care of.
That's fine. That's fine. Animals?
It's my wife's idea, okay.
You have animals?
She's a glutton for punishment. We have a dog.
A dog.
They keep wanting to get a cat because we used to have cats and they got old and died. But I'm like not really keen on getting another cat anytime soon. Although I had a dream last night that had like 3 cats.
Well, maybe if
it was it's called a nightmare.
Maybe if you weren't dreaming about cats, you would have woken up on time.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Well,
stupid cats.
I don't think this is going to make for a very good pilot. I hate to tell you right now.
I don't know. I'm gonna bounce around some ideas.
You're going to need something a little bit more concrete.
I don't know, man. I think I'll play up my clumsiness
in
the pilot because, seriously.
Yes, that should go over
I'm well. Very clumsy. Okay. It's not even funny. I kick stuff all the time.
Do you?
I was standing up by one of the cubicles the other day, just standing there, just kind of moving my foot around and wham, hit the corner of the cubicle and knocked the little plastic thing out of whack.
Yeah?
I've actually done that twice here.
How did that make you feel?
Stupid.
I'm sorry.
I trip over stuff.
I'm just going to let you keep going until we get
knock stuff over.
The show.
Okay. Well, we better get moving.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
I was wondering when we were going to go full circle here.
All right.
Emma Kent joining us first up on this Wednesday. Emma, I apologize. Brad's having a nervous breakdown today. And
I was wondering
for the best
why he was twitching so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, he hasn't had enough coffee. He also thinks he's going to write a pilot of his life.
It's going to be called Brad's the Worst.
No, Brad Locke's the Worst.
Brad Locke's the
Worst. If you can't even get the title right, just don't even bother with it. God, you're the worst.
Nobody didn't. Well, the title of the show wasn't Everybody Loves Ray. Whatever his last name was,
no,
Ray Barone.
No,
Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, but Brad's the Worst just doesn't really.
The show was Barone.
Oh.
Why are we? You're the worst.
You're the worst.
You're the worst. Hey, Emma.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm.
On this Wednesday.
Great.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Emma showed us a fascinating video on YouTube a moment ago.
You're one sick puppy.
Anyway.
It was fascinating. Admit it.
I was going to segue this with English as a Second Language.
What was that segue going to be, Derek?
Obviously, that was from another country and or continent. A video I just watched. The video was of a young woman eating an octopus.
Alive.
Octopus. Alive. They didn't even bother frying the calamari. She just went for it straight.
I mean.
All right. Well.
Thanks, Emma.
Yeah. Brad's going to sleep even later in the morning because of these nightmares.
Yep.
He overslept this morning. It's okay.
Again.
Hey, you had a great story over the weekend about English as a second language being taught at Tupelo High School and students facing unique challenges with this course. How many students are taking ESL at Tupelo High?
At Tupelo High, I'm not sure exactly, but there are... I'm trying to think about the number. There are lots of students in the school district who, like at least 300 students in the school district who are ESL students who take some form of an ESL class.
What are some of the different, languages that these kids are speaking as a first language?
There's a lot of different languages. I was really surprised there are so many. Spanish is the largest group.
Sure.
And then you've got a really large Arabic-speaking population, which I was kind of surprised by. And then Japanese. And there's some Vietnamese, some Chinese. There's like 17 different languages. But those are some of the bigger groups.
Learning English has always been fascinating to me. I never took Spanish in high school or college. I took 4 years of Latin, which did me absolutely no good, both in high school and college. I took 3 years in college. But trying to learn English for the first time, what are some of the challenges that these kids are facing with the English language? Because I know to other people, our language seems very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that... I was talking to the ESL coordinators, Ruth Baker and Leanne Dunkley. They were telling me it's not as hard for the elementary kids because they're learning basics. And even like in the classroom, in the regular English classroom, that's what the other kids are learning too. Mm-hmm. They're still kind of learning language. But once you get to high school, when you get into high school, you know English. Like as an English-speaking person, you know how to write a sentence and you know grammar and that kind of thing. So those kids who come in later are especially behind. So they have to learn a whole lot of the English language at once. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just kind
of... You're not growing up with it. You're having to adapt to it quickly.
Yeah. And when you're in a class with... they have an ESL class where they just learn English.
Right.
It's all the ESL students, but in a regular classroom, a different classroom, they're trying to keep up with so much that these other students already know, on top of trying to learn the English language themselves.
So at third grade, you're not necessarily dealing with this, but by sophomore year, you're probably escalated to your, and there, and there, and those terrible tropes that everybody messes up, even people who've been speaking English for their entire lives. Brad.
What?
Exactly.
I wouldn't pay attention.
Brad's still working on there, and there. We're hoping for the best for him, though.
What am I doing?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to do work here, Derek. Don't talk to me while I'm working.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep you engaged.
Brad doesn't want to talk to us. It's fine.
No, it's fine. What are some examples of just general lessons that you visited the high school when you went? So what were these kids working on at that time?
They were working on comparing. So comparing words like, large and largest or big, bigger, biggest. Just learning how to do comparisons.
Language is fascinating. I never took the time to learn anything else, but the fact that, there's words in other languages that we don't have words for.
Yeah.
In English, like stuff like that. And I'm sure it's the same way backwards. I'm sure there's words in the English language that we have that they are completely lost to.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's difficult. I've always heard that English is the hardest language to learn. I don't know if that's true.
Yet we have the majority of the idiots in the world. It fascinates me.
Like if you're another person. If you're from another country, you speak a different language and you want to learn English, I've heard that it's harder to learn than most other languages around the world. So I don't know.
But then every day on Facebook, I see people saying they go through something and they spelled it T-H-R-E-W. So instead of T-H-R-E-U-G.
It's the hardest language, Derek. Cut those people some slack.
I'm sorry. I should. If it's that difficult, I should ease up just a little bit, I guess. Mm. No, it's Facebook. You get no. You
Derek
get no
has
easy
no mercy
answers.
For you.
I do not. I think there should be an aptitude test to be on Facebook.
But then it would be less entertaining.
It would. But then I think my blood pressure would be a little bit more nominal too.
Well, okay.
But it infuriates me to no end sometimes. Anyway, that's not what your story is about. Although that would be fascinating to gauge how these kids do learning English for the first time on Facebook versus people who have been speaking it their entire lives. That should be a graduating course for it right there. I'll talk to the curriculum. We'll get this worked out. Emmy had a great video as well on your story that ran on the 4th. I mean, it's just a very multicultural class. You can't. I mean, obviously that's the basis of it, but it's neat to see all these different kids learning this for the first time.
Yeah, something that I thought was cool, and Chris shot that video, Chris Kiefer here.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know. But
He's the guy that spelled through T-H-R-E-W.
Chris, I thought you knew better.
Come on.
It's hard language.
He's still
Sit
learning.
Sit in next time.
I'll try.
But something that I thought was really interesting about that class is, and I don't think you can see this in the video, but the teacher, Clark Parker, he teaches French, and now he teaches ESL. And so he said that he's had to learn a lot of Spanish.
Well, I mean, I guess think about it. I don't know that I could teach English to somebody.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
Like, that would be very difficult to me. To
explain something that is so...
Well, why do you do it that way? Because that's ingrained, the way we were told to do it.
Yeah. And so he... so obviously and this is his first year to teach it. So obviously like he doesn't speak fluent Spanish or, he said he has several Vietnamese students in his class. I mean, he just doesn't speak those languages. So when he was giving directions, he had like a big monitor, pulled up with Google Translate and he would type in like the directions. So it would be like, now we're going to work on comparing words and would translate it into the different languages and it would speak so that the students could hear it.
Fascinating.
So it was like he was giving them the directions, but he was giving it to them in their language, which was kind of neat. I never thought about using Google Translate for that.
I mean, how else are you going to talk to them? Then you have to learn 17 different languages
exactly.
On top of teaching English.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
But anyway, yeah, it was, it's neat to see what goes on. So
there you go. Emma, thanks for joining us today.
Yep, thank you.
Be sure to look for the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com or catch the replay later on. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. So look for a new episode of Prep Rally today. And for you Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and NBC reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Hey, wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else in Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. All right, let's go down to Jackson and bring Bobby Harrison in here, our Capitol Bureau Chief. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
Doing all right, sir. I want to talk about budgets and taxes and all that good stuff.
That's all we talk about.
Well, yeah, I know it's been kind of the ongoing story with the legislature. And you had a story yesterday talking about the Legislative Budget Committee has 14 members. At one time, was considered the most powerful committee in the legislature, but with these working groups and whatnot, Bobby, it's losing its luster. Why?
Well, working groups are kind of doing what the budget committee has done in the past, and it's kind of unusual and a little bit perplexing. I mean, the working groups are fine, but, you know, the speaking lieutenant governor appointed the budget committee, and they also appointed the working groups, the members of those committees. So, I guess they decided that they wanted some different faces on the working groups to look at these agencies, to look at their spending, and also areas where maybe they can cut. And so the working groups, I assume, they're still by statute certain responsibilities that the budget committee has to perform.
Yeah.
And so I assume what happens is the working groups will make recommendations to the budget committee, and the budget committee will take those recommendations into account later this year, the budget committee by law has to develop a budget proposal to submit to the legislature for the upcoming fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. So
yeah.
The budget committee still has a function to play, but it's just that the working groups are kind of doing the work of looking at agencies and determining what their spending priorities should be.
Yeah, and years past, the budget committee, they'd have hearings that could drag on for weeks, you know, and now they're just going to meet for one day, October the 7th. Are these working groups redundant, or are they just simply kind of phasing out the budget committee to a degree and just replacing it, I guess?
Well, they are for this year anyway.
Yeah,
And, the working groups are meeting right now, even as we speak. I mean, I left the working group meeting to come out here and talk to you, which as boring as those working groups can be sometimes, that was a gift for you to come out and talk to you. For right now, the working groups are definitely replacing the budget committee.
Another story I want to talk about you had over the weekend, Bobby, has to do with the sales tax holidays. We had one recently, of course, before school started. And there's an economist from Washington, D.C., who has told legislators that these sales tax holidays don't do any good and that they're bad policy. Kind of explain a little bit what she was talking about there.
Yeah, this also came out of the working groups. You know, there's a working group looking at the state's tax structure, and they had a economist with a, you may have my story there in front
the
of
tax
me,
foundation.
Washington D.C.-based tax foundation.
Yeah.
And she talked about she made several points. She praised some of the taxing policy in the state, but and then other stuff she was critical of. And one of the things she was critical of was the sales tax holidays. We actually have two. We had since the school back to school holiday, we've had another one for outdoorsmen. It's called the Second Amendment holiday. I think the official title is the Sportsman's Holiday. And, you know, of course, on those days for that weekend, the 7% sales tax on clothing for back to school, and then later for hunting items, the 7% sales tax that we all pay is waived. And she made the argument, which I've heard before, and makes sense, that this actually doesn't grow the state economy like a lot of people claim, because what people do is they realize the holiday's coming up, so they just postpone making purchases they would have made anyway. Instead of making new purchases, they just wait until that holiday to make purchases, so it actually just costs the state revenue. And then the other argument for the sales tax holidays is that it helps people on the lower socioeconomic level by exempting the 7% sales tax for them. But what a lot of people argue is it doesn't help those people as much as it helps middle-class people who can buy more items on that day. You know, the people on the lower socioeconomic rung may not be able to buy one or two items at a time. So it doesn't help them as much as it helps the more affluent people. Those are the two arguments against the sales tax holiday. But they're very popular in the state. And the legislation whenever the both holidays passed got bipartisan support, so they're very popular, and I'd be surprised if when doing this look at tax structure that something that the working group recommends is to eliminate the sales tax holidays.
And this economist, her name is Nicole Kading, I believe that's how you say it.
Right.
She also talked about the Mississippi's state and local tax burden being among the lowest in the nation. I think it ranks 41st, and said they're headed in the right direction in that regard as far as taxing income as opposed to taxing consumption.
Well, the Tax Foundation, and it's kind of the way that the Republican leadership wants to go too, is not to tax income, but to tax consumption.
Right.
And that's kind of their bailiwick, to sales taxes, use taxes, those types of taxes, instead of taxing income. And of course, the argument against that, which she acknowledged, is sometimes such the consumption taxes are more of a burden on places, a greater burden on the poor, which, God knows Mississippi has a lot of people in that category,
right?
And gives more affluent people a tax break, under the argument that, everybody's got to buy a gallon of milk, but it costs a poor person a lot more, about a greater percentage of their income to buy that gallon of milk than it does a more affluent person. And then, and then they're having to pay the sales tax on that gallon of milk.
Right.
So that puts even a greater burden on poorer people. So that's the argument for an income tax instead of a consumption tax. But the way that Tate Reeves and House Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, who formed these working groups, the way they want to say the direction they want to do is have more of a consumption tax and less of a tax on income.
All right. Good stuff. Good insight there, Bobby. You can read his stories in the Journal or at djournal.com. Bobby, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. Hey, speaking of Bobby Harrison, watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Homeowners on the south end of Lee County could soon see a reduction in insurance rates. That's because the Shannon Volunteer Fire Department recently had its fire rating lowered from a Class 7 to a Class 6 by the Mississippi State Rating Bureau. As the ratings dropped from 10th class, which is the worst rating, to first class, the improvements in fire protection mean lower insurance premiums for homeowners. When rating a fire district, the Bureau looks at equipment, infrastructure, and training. Shannon added a third pumper truck last fall, installed more fire hydrants, and emphasized regular training of firefighters. Shannon is one of just 12 volunteer fire departments statewide with a Class 6 rating. Most volunteer departments have a rating between 7 and 9.
Three Northeast Mississippi residents are among the newest cases of mosquito-borne viruses reported Monday by the Mississippi State Department of Health. A Lee County resident was counted as one of the four new cases of West Nile virus, bringing the total of lab-confirmed cases for 2016 to 19 in Mississippi. New travel-associated cases of the Zika virus were reported in a Lafayette County resident who recently traveled to Nicaragua and a Prentice County resident associated with the travel to the Caribbean island of Grenada. Zika causes severe birth defects in developing fetuses if the mother is infected while she is pregnant. The virus typically causes mild illness, and most people have no symptoms.
Itawamba Agricultural High School was recently named one of the country's top 500 schools serving low-income students. The recognition comes from Newsweek's 2016 Beating the Odds report. The study is primarily based on surveys of the schools. It accounts for schools' college readiness, graduation rates, and the number of high school seniors enrolled in some form of college in relation to the number of students eligible for free and reduced lunches. According to the report, IAHS has a college readiness score of 67.9% and a graduation rate of 96.1%, with 87.2% of last year's graduating seniors having enrolled in college at the time of the study. The school's poverty rate was 54.1%. IAHS was one of five Mississippi schools to make the list. Others include Pass Christian, Tishomingo County, Shaw, and Lafayette.
A group of Pontotoc County inmates found thousands of dollars on the side of the road near Sunshine Healthcare on Highway 9 Friday. Unfortunately, it won't do them any good. The bills were property of the Motion Picture Association of America. It was prop money used for film and television. Sheriff Leo Mask isn't sure where the tender came from, but said that film reels were found along with the marked bills. The sheriff's department hasn't counted how much was recovered, but plans to hold on to it until whoever lost the equipment comes forward to claim it.
North Mississippi Medical Center recently stationed an ambulance in Shannon in an effort to keep quick response times throughout Lee County. NMMC now stations ambulances in both Shannon and Guntown as part of an effort to target the county's northern and southern ends for better response times. Those ambulances typically idle in a parking lot while waiting to be dispatched. The Shannon ambulance sits at Shannon Elementary School. In Guntown, an ambulance currently posts at a former car wash facility on Highway 145. Lee County supervisors had advocated for the ambulance substations. District 4 Supervisor Tommy Lee Ivey said he is pleased by the recent developments. The current average response time to calls in Guntown is 11 minutes, and to Shannon is about 13 minutes.
We want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main Street in Tupelo. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
It's Wednesday. That means Jenna Parsons gets to join us to talk about food. Hello, Jenna.
Hello, Brad.
How are you?
Good. You?
Super. Fantastic.
Good.
Hey, let's talk about the food section, because that's why you're here.
Yep.
Let's talk about this artichoke pea dip, or black-eyed pea dip, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm not much on artichokes, but I love black-eyed peas, so I'd give it a go.
You could.
Yeah.
We went to a family gathering maybe 10 years ago in Tuscaloosa, and there was this dip that was really good. And I asked the host, my cousin, for the recipe, and she said she would try to get it, and then come to find out it was a caterer, and the caterer wouldn't part with it. So I put out a call to readers and said I had this great dip. Here are a couple of the ingredients. And a reader wrote back and gave me a recipe. And I guess I stuck it in a cookbook, and I happened to pull that cookbook out this past weekend, and there was the recipe, and I tried it, and it was delicious, warm, hot. It was very, very close. The only thing I think I remember about the dip in Tuscaloosa was that for some reason, and, you know, it's been 10 years, but I'm thinking that it had rice in it, and this one didn't, but it wouldn't be that hard to add a little bit of cooked rice.
Isn't it nice when you remember, when you know how good something was from so long ago, even if you don't get it that often again?
Isn't that nice?
It is nice. I remember a banana bread I had one time that they had icing on it, and it was banana pudding icing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've never had it again, and it's a sad
thing. Do you remember who made it?
Disney.
Well, then you can go back and get it.
I tried that. It's not there anymore.
No.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Sad.
Oh, that's very sad.
Sad story, bro.
It's kind of like not getting brownies on Friday.
They were delicious.
I'm sure they were.
Oh, man. Those are some of the best brownies I've had in a while.
Very chocolatey.
Who made those, by the way?
Bonnie Green. She's going to be the cook of the week next Wednesday.
Okay. Well, goodness. Bring some more. Speaking of cook of the week, Billy Pryor Davis is your cook of the week. She's from Calhoun City.
Yes.
What can you tell us about her?
I can tell you that she sent me home with about 12 pounds of muscadines, chili sauce, squash, probably 3 pounds of little tomatoes. She had this all ready when I got there. It was like Christmas in July, August, September.
Dang.
It was nice.
You stayed for a long time.
I did stay for 2 or 3 hours.
Well, she says it takes hours just to make her chili sauce.
It does.
Hours.
Because you have to cook it. Well, not only getting everything chopped up, but to cook it until it's thick. Mm. But her husband used to go to work really early in the morning, and so she still gets up at 2:33 in the morning and starts cooking lunch at that hour.
Wow.
She can't get out of the habit.
Jeez. Well, good for her.
But her specialty is she gave us a recipe for a roast, and you can either do a beef roast or a pork roast. She prepares it the same way. And when there's a death in the family or a celebration, or she goes to someone's house or has family over, that's what they want is her roast. And they don't care if it's beef or pork. They know it's going to be good.
Mm.
Same recipe that her mother and her grandmother used.
Okay, neat. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
All right, and let's also talk about this restaurant you wrote about up in Corinth. It's called Smith, lowercase s and a period at the end.
It has a little period at the end.
Okay.
Right.
That's just a stylistic choice, I guess.
Well, no, I tell the story in the story that the couple that has the restaurant, Russell and Julia Smith, his grandfather opened Russell's Beef House that's out on the highway, Highway 72.
Yeah.
And so Russell and Julia both worked in the food service industry for many years. They came back to Corinth to open a restaurant, raise their family. They have 3 small girls.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were trying to decide on a name for it, one of Russell's friends said, "Well, man, you know, it doesn't matter what you call it. They're gonna call it Russell's because, you know, that's your name." And
yeah.
Then it's gonna be, "Well, do you want to go to Russell's on the highway, meaning the Beef House, or Russell's downtown, meaning this restaurant,
right.
Smith?" And so then he said, "Well, we thought about naming it Smith's and, you know, Smith's Restaurant and Smith's Bar." And then he said, "You know what? Let's just call it Smith, period." And so it became Smith with the little dot after it.
The period, yeah.
And the font that they use for all the their signage out front and on their menus is the font that's on an Underwood typewriter that hangs on the wall. The restaurant for 100 years was a print shop. It was cool. Rankin Printery. And so as a nod to the print shop, they use that funky little font.
That's cool.
But the food was amazing there.
Yeah, they give a nod to Russell's Beef House with the Beef House sandwich, which looks amazing.
Yes, and I did not get to eat that sandwich, but Adam, the photographer, did and said it was some kind of good. Said it was like nothing he had ever had.
Really?
And then they also prepared a bowl of mussels in a butter and white wine sauce that was a special on the dinner menu.
Sounds fancy.
Yes, and I didn't get to have that, and I am sorry, and so is my husband, because mussels are his favorite.
You can have mussels. I don't like those kind of mussels. I just like these right here.
Let's just add mussels to the list of things that Brad won't
Can I
eat.
Have mussels?
I've actually
Can
never.
Can I have his mussels?
Have you even ever tried them?
No, they just look disgusting.
You are wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
You
They're
are
delicious.
Wrong.
And I don't eat oysters.
I never tried oysters
either.
I don't eat oysters, but I love
mussels.
Okay. You're both wrong.
I'm not big on seafood in general.
Well.
It depends on what it is.
I can't do
crab
oysters.
Crab cakes, I'll eat those all day. But.
See, I have a little allergy to crabs.
Yeah,
so
it's no good.
It makes me break out.
Okay, yeah. I'd like all of the crabs and all the oysters and all of Brad's mussels, if that's okay. Scallops?
I like scallops.
I never tried them.
I prefer bay scallops wrapped in bacon and broiled in the oven.
We just went to church.
Listen,
amen.
My seafood eating experience growing up basically consisted of going to Captain D's every once in a while, okay? That's it. I've never been to a Red Lobster, which I'm not sure if that's a bad thing. But, yeah.
Only thing good at Red Lobster is the biscuits.
I've never had lobster, so there you go.
You've never had lobster?
I've had it a couple of times. It's not my favorite. I mean, I'm not going to spend the money for it, but if somebody else is buying, I'll eat it.
Well, you're missing out when it comes to crab legs.
Well, I also don't like crawfish, okay? And I lived in Louisiana for 9 years, and unless you're going to...
What's wrong with you?
You know, unless you're going to put it in gumbo, then I'll eat it.
Derek,
otherwise,
I say
no.
We start a list, and it will be a very short list, and it will be a list of things Brad does eat.
Pizza.
Bread.
Pizza and more pizza. Hamburgers. I'll eat chicken all day long. Every day. Of course.
Period.
Chocolate.
I don't think you're filling out any food groups here.
Lots of chocolate.
I think you're making your own pyramid.
Beer.
It's shaped like a pizza.
Beer's like, if you're a vegan, you can still drink beer. You know that?
I interviewed a vegan.
I'm not a vegan, but...
He said the...
Well, then what does that have to do with anything?
That just tells me the beer's healthy.
He said that people think that if you're a vegan, that you're this really slim, healthy person. But he said, remember that French fries and beer are both vegan. So there you go.
Time to start my vegan diet. Going to McDonald's. All right.
McDonald's doesn't have beer.
No, they don't. Some Burger Kings do, though.
Really?
I don't know about the ones here, but...
I don't think you're going to find beer in the Bible Belt at a Burger King.
Well,
that's a lot of bees. Very nice.
Thank you.
Nice job. Okay.
Bet you couldn't do it again.
Stop all your head, Jenna.
I'm not a betting woman.
All right.
Jenna Parsons. Good stuff. Find her work today in the food section and at djournal.com. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
Brad, we did not have a show on Monday. Well, I was here, but nobody else came on Monday.
Right.
But crime reports, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
we got some
crime
today.
Reports
we'll
today
do some.
We could discuss.
Because
today's show hasn't gone on long enough.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, where are we at, Chris? An hour and a half, feels like.
Getting there.
Okay.
As long as from Monday till today.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to make up for a missed show. Yeah, let's do crime reports.
Okay.
You can find lots of these at tipsheet.djournal.com. Here's some highlights from last week, though.
All right. A
Mitchell Road Tupelo woman said she let her mother stay the night at her apartment. When she woke up the next morning, the mother was gone. Around 8 a.m.,
The mother returned, banging on the door, wanting to know where her wallet was. The woman says she didn't have the wallet.
No.
When the mother threatened to break out the windows, woman called the property manager, who kicked the mother off the property.
Whoa, you had your mother kicked off the property?
Mother kicked off the property.
My goodness.
Mom needs to shape up.
That is some strange relationship going on right there.
I would say so.
I think there's some other things that need to be worked out. You can call us at 662-842. Whatever the rest
we're
of the phone number here is.
Therapist, but we'll try to help.
We will talk you through it.
Okay.
Right. I feel like Dr. Phil would have something to say about that.
He's not a real doctor.
And neither is Dr. Oz. Okay, maybe he is.
If you're not Phil Donahue, just
Phil
get out.
Donahue. He's Phil not alive Donahue. Still, is he?
He is still alive.
Really?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was still kicking around. Need to bring
still,
him back.
He still
was like,
at it.
He was like the original of whatever genre you want to call that.
The original Jerry Springer.
I guess, or sure. Maury Povich. He was the first of those guys.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? That was like the first reality TV was Phil Donahue. where am I?
That's a good
that
name.
Or the People's Court. A man said he was flying his white DJI Phantom drone in Veterans Park, and it got stuck in a tree.
We got real specific here, didn't we? Why were you flying it near a tree?
He left to get a ladder, and when he returned the next day, it took him a whole day to get a ladder.
How long did it take you to find a ladder?
If I had a drone stuck in a tree, I'd be
quick. I'm going up that tree.
When he returned, somebody did, because when he returned the next day, the $1,500 aircraft was gone.
But you don't have a remote to it. What good does it do you?
I don't know. He got pulled a Charlie Brown with his drone.
The drone-eating tree?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Blockhead. Why didn't you go get the ladder right then and there and come back for it?
A shirtless man ran into the middle of South Gloucester near Garfield Street
carrying
around midnight.
A drone.
After nearly being hit by a northbound car and a southbound patrol car, the man threw something in a storm drain and ran back across the street. The man was charged with public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and obstructing a city street. Chris Kiefer, explain yourself.
That's right over here. Let's go see what he threw in the storm drain. Did they not investigate that?
I was wondering, as you went through the charges, if there's a charge for throwing something in a storm drain. So what is it? Obstructing a city street?
So what am I charged with?
Public intox and disorderly conduct. He just runs shirtless into the middle of the street and starts... I don't know what he's doing.
It's not illegal to be shirtless.
No.
Unless you look
should
like.
Be for some people.
So, yeah.
So the obstructing a city street isn't necessarily for throwing something down the storm drain. It might just be for
just
running
for
across the street.
Just for cars.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So, anyway. A man who had just bonded out of the Lee County Jail was stopped as he had a verbal altercation with a female in the parking lot. A further check revealed the man had an outstanding warrant. He was taken back to jail and charged. They didn't know about the warrant the first time they put him in jail.
It hadn't come through yet. It was just that morning.
I guess not.
It's not enough time.
I don't know how that works.
They haven't updated that crime database that we talked about last week.
He's like, I'm free. No, I'm not.
All those who think they're getting out of here, take one step forward. Not so fast, Jerry.
Yeah. Talk about your recidivism. Recidivism, what's the word?
Not that one.
Recidivism? The recidivism rate. That means going back to jail. That guy set a record. That's what happens when I try to use big words.
In your head, your ears are smoking.
Recidivism. Your word for the day, kids. Recidivism. Look
when you
it
hear
up.
It, scream real loud.
Finally, a vendor at the Morville flea market said a man walked up and asked to look at a knife.
Sure.
The suspect then pulled out his own knife and demanded money. The man gave the suspect $140, and the suspect ran away. Here's my question.
You got a whole table full of knives.
Exactly. Why didn't you just use one of those? Then you not only get the money, hey, free knife. Why'd you bring your own knife?
Let me see that knife. Oh, wait, I got my own. Oh, wait, you have 30.
Here, let me look at this really big knife. Cool knife. Give me your money.
You brought knives to a knife fight.
Thieves are dumb.
Well, apparently the guy was the booth owner was, too. He had a whole thing of knives and didn't do anything.
He was just trying to sell his wares, man. Come on.
Hold on, let me get this sword from season 6 of Game of Thrones behind me.
True, yeah.
That's not a knife.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is a knife.
That's another thing. The guy pulls a knife on him. Why didn't the vendor pull a knife as well? Maybe they were locked up.
This is what I just said.
Well, I know,
this is what I've been saying for 4 minutes.
Well, I was talking about the thief grabbing
the
one of the knives.
The thief pulled the knife. Why didn't the owner pull a knife?
Well, yeah, but I was asking initially why didn't the thief take one of the vendor's knives?
Why they're behind glass. They're
well,
under
if he has to look at it. See?
That'd
that's probably
like,
why the vendor didn't pull it. He had to go unlock the thing.
Did he wait to give it to him? Did he He pulled out his own knife. What? Then he's got two? I don't know. It's like, here, let me see that knife. You're trying to distract you long enough. Now I have two knives. Now give me all your money.
Now, on the other hand, if you ask the vendor, hey, let me look at that knife, then if he uses that knife on the vendor, well, the vendor's already got access to another knife because the thing's already unlocked. See what I'm saying?
This is what I'm saying.
So this is why I guess the guy brought his own knife. What?
It's like a knife the scene to a knife on fight. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Where
are we saying the same thing?
I think I don't think you've caught up with me yet.
I'm really confused.
I think
now.
You're trying to. Okay, so man A owns knives.
Yes.
Man B approaches man A and asks to look at man A's one of man A's knives.
Yes.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, and he did ask to look at a knife.
Okay, so man B then takes his own knife and demands all the money.
So really, the vendor probably had already unlocked the case by this point. If he asked to look
forget
at a knife,
forget about the case. You've got so dozens of knives, most likely. Unless you were selling Star Wars collectibles and a knife.
This thing just doesn't.
You've
make
got something to defend yourself.
This doesn't
with.
Make any sense to me. This whole report.
And there's a table in between. I can't come at you with an 8-foot table in between us.
I'm pretty confused. Now.
I'm not. Is
he really
going to
stab that guy in the middle of the flea market?
There are more questions than that. However, you have dozens of knives, probably.
I don't know.
Unless you were selling Beanie Babies and a knife.
I feel like we need to start this thing over.
My nose is bleeding. I'm so stressed right now.
That's it for police reports. That's the last one. Yeah. So
what a doozy to end on, Brad.
And that's it for the show, isn't it?
I guess.
Which is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods.
Is it?
Yeah. You can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section, including that black-eyed pea dip. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. So visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's.
There you go.
Cool. We're done. That's it. Thanks for listening.
That'll do it.
You can find us in many places, iTunes, your podcast apps, memo.djournal.com. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Give us your take on the knife robbery, how it should have gone, or how you think it went, because I'm still lost. Someone explain it to me.
I tried, and you argued with me.
I'm dumb.
We got that on tape, Chris.
It's no secret. Find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke, Derek at W. Derek Russell, Chris at Chris Kiefer. Okay, cool. We'll be back tomorrow, right? Yes?
For another installment of Brad Locke's The Worst.
Awesome. Tune in next time to hear Brad say,
I'm the worst.